Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is designed to bring you and to restore original Christianity for today. What on earth is God doing? Does he have a plan? Does God know that you exist? Does God realize that you are alive? Now, atheists claim, oh, we came from mud and slime, and given millions and millions of years, we've developed in what we've developed into. Oh, really? How come, then, there is so much dirt and hardened mud and slime that didn't evolve into animals and people? How did it stay the way that it is? You know, God says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, because God has given his creation as a fantastic testimony of his existence. But because men have sinned, and men have rejected God, beginning with Adam and Eve, God has hidden his purpose as to why we are here in the pages of the Bible. And his word. So have you ever woken up in the morning and looked in the mirror, and then ask yourself, why am I here? Why are human beings here? What is life? Where am I going? Now, especially when you get older, because time marches on and the wheels of years turn, and you wonder, what have I done with my life? Where am I going? Will I go to heaven or go to hell? Well, to answer that question, you're going to neither. Because the Bible doesn't say you go to heaven when you die or you go to hell when you die. And yet, how many ministers and priests handle the Bible and don't even know that basic truth? Well, they like to read the scripture in John, the third chapter. And like so much of Christianity, what do? Oh, they like to come to God to have their sins forgiven. And whoosh, hocus pocus, dominocus, I'm on my way. And if I pay the indulgence, I can continue in sin. But many people don't realize that the wages of sin is death. And the other half of the story is misery and suffering and agony and problems between that and when you die. And they rely on John 3:16. This is a good verse. And this is true. But it's like everything else. Let's liken the Bible to a 10 million piece puzzle. And you select out one piece. So let's do it. Right here, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. Now, everyone likes that. Yes, God loves the world. That he gave his only begotten Son. Yes, thank you, God, for providing a sacrifice for us. So that everyone who believes in him, and of course a lot of people say, yes, I believe in Jesus. But they don't even know what belief really means. Oh, I believe that he was the Son of God. Really? Now, what are you going to do about it? Now, notice the rest of it here. So that everyone who believes in him may not perish. Qualifying statement. The King James says, should not perish. That's not correct. May not. So their chances are, you could perish. See, because the choice is ours. God has given it to us. And we're the ones who have to come to God, and God is the one who has given his word. Now, do you have a Bible in your house? Let me ask, how many do you have? And when was the last time you seriously read it? But most people don't know that the Bible really is, in fact, a direct written message from God to you. And that's why Church at Home. Because the only place that you're really going to seek and ask and knock is in your home. the churches of this world have become so dumbed down, so watered down, so devoid of knowledge that they can't even tell you why you are here and what is the plan of God. They can't tell you why you were born. Oh, well, you're born to be good. Be good for what? Well, you come and attend this church. Why attend when I see all the hypocrisy? Well, if you believe in Jesus, you'll be saved. But they don't tell you what it means to believe. So it's like the one piece in a 10 million piece puzzle. So what we're going to do is begin to put it together so you understand why you're here, where you're going, purpose in your life. Now let's read on here. Purpose is, but may have everlasting life. Now how are you going to get everlasting life? And what will that be like? Because you see, that is the question as to why were you born. Now we've already covered how fantastic it is the way that God has made each individual separate and unique and distinct. Now, I'm here to tell you, I don't think mud could do that. Let's see how God made us. Back here in Genesis, the first chapter, you know, the place to begin a lot of things is in the beginning. And the reason why there's so much confusion in the world of religianity, churchianity, is because they don't rightly divide the word. Just like in a puzzle, you got to put the right pieces in the right place. Isn't that true? Yes. So here at the beginning, we find a fantastic thing. Why are you made the way that you are? Let's read it. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. For what purpose? Why do that? Now, if you haven't downloaded the article, 90 Facts About God, do it so you can understand who God is, what he looks like. Because today there are so many ideas about God and so many books being written debunking Christianity, and I could understand why atheists hate the religions of this world, because frankly, they are stupid when you really know the truth in the Bible. There's nothing in the Bible about reincarnation. There's nothing in the Bible about going to heaven. There is nothing in the Bible about evolution. And this is God's word and message to you, a personal message. Now, men like to give their own version of things. They don't like to stick to the truth because the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And without the knowledge of God, so is yours. Now, we've already seen how we've gotten human nature. An evil nature because of sin of Adam and Eve. But God has a plan to redeem us out of that. And the beginning of his plan is that we are made in his image. Now notice what he gave them. Let them have dominion. God gave the whole earth to us. Now the next time you see a picture of the beautiful earth with the white clouds and the deep blue sea and the land all around it, and you think, boy, God gave this to us to rule over it, to build, to plant, to dig, to do fantastic things. He's given us a mind very similar to his. We look like him, made in his image, after his likeness. We have the ability to love. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to build, to create, to put together. Isn't that something? And he made us male and female for the propagation of mankind. And he's directly involved, as we have seen, in every human birth. Now, when you look at the rest of the creation, we see God commanded everything and it came into existence. But when God made Adam, he formed him out of the mud of the earth, personally fashioned him, made him, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. and man became a living being. And Adam also had a language programmed right into his brain so God could communicate with him. And the first thing Adam learned was, there's no helpmeet for me. So God put him into a deep sleep, took a rib, built a woman, gave him to her, and now you have man and wife. And all human beings have come from Adam and Eve. That's why we have the subtitle of this, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God. And God does love us. But how then do we get from the physical creation of what we are to what God wants us to be? And since we're made in the image of God, what is it that God wants us to be? So that's the question. Let's come back here to the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. We are going to see that God does have purpose. He does state it here, but we have to look for it in the Word of God, and we have to find it by rightly dividing the Word and putting it together. And the Bible says the way you understand it is that there is precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, and if we put it together correctly, then we get the picture and purpose and plan of God. Now, in the book of Ephesians, God revealed to Paul one of the most important things that we have in understanding why we are here and the very purpose of life. There's a reason you're made in the image of God. And there's a reason that God, in the person of Christ, divested himself of his glory and power and became a human being just like us, took upon him human nature just like we have, and yet lived his life without sin. So the Creator, the one who made us, the one who became Jesus Christ, died for you and every other human being that will repent and believe in him and accept his sacrifice for their sins. And that is just the beginning. From there has to be baptism, receiving the Holy Spirit, understanding the Word of God, growing in grace and knowledge. See, because to understand about eternal life and to learn of eternal life, it's not a 5-minute pass through a drive-by ministry. It is a lifetime walk in the way of God, the truth of God, the Spirit of God, the love of God, the hope of God, the faith of God, you see. Because once you come through and understand John 3:16 and begin to expand that out, it's like coming through a tiny little tunnel, and then on the other side, the Bible begins to open up. And the puzzle begins to be put together. Ephesians 1 and verse 5, having predestinated us for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. Now, what does that mean? What does the word sonship mean? Well, we'll answer that because that's the key as to why you were born. See, because to be born in the flesh is only part of God's plan. And God's plan and purpose then is revealed in his will. And his will is expressed in the Bible. Now notice, verse 9, having made known to us the mystery or the secret of his will according to the good pleasure which he has proposed in himself. What is that purpose? What did he propose? And how is he carrying that out? And how do you become part of that? How do you become part of the sonship of God? Because that is a tremendous thing when we understand it, you see. It's more than just going to church and feeling bad, having a guilty conscience, and the preacher says, all of you who would like to have your sins forgiven, stand up and say, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, forgive me my sins. Jesus, enter into my heart. voila, you have been saved. No, that's not true. The words sound biblical, but they leave out a whole lot. Once you believe, here's the steps. Repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit, grow in grace and knowledge, and understand the Word of God. Then what you do is this. You begin to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being. And as you do, the Spirit of God and the Word of God will bring forth the understanding of why you are here. Now, you're not going to find this in any philosophy book. You are not going to find this in any curriculum at school. Notice what the Apostle Paul said back here in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. Because God wants you to go on beyond the rudimentary things that are talked about in Protestantism so that you enter into the relationship of sonship. See, because God is the Father. Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. And as we're going to see, God is recreating himself and his family through the process of redemption. Now notice what Paul wrote in verse 9. But according as it is written, the eye is not seen, nor the ear heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love God? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? That's the first and the great commandment. And if we do that, then God will reveal things to us out of his word by his Spirit. Because God's Spirit, if you're seeking God, God's Spirit will come, be with you. If you continue to seek, if you continue to ask, if you continue to knock, if you continue to study the Word of God, God's Spirit will remain with you. But as soon as you turn your back on that and go the other way, God's Spirit is not going to be with you. But you have to go beyond just God's Spirit being with you. You have to go through baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit so God's Spirit will be within you. That is the key. So let's read what happens here. Verse 10, but God has revealed them to us by his Spirit, no other means. God's Spirit. That's why you have to believe the truth, live by the truth, know the truth, properly divide the truth, properly put the Bible together, and it's all possible. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And what we're going to cover are some of the deep things of God. Not just this superficial religion of this goody-goody social club that we have, or a costless Christ. There's nothing we need to do except believe in Jesus and feel good. No, there's a lot you need to do. And it has to be revealed by God through his word. Then he draws a parallel. And he shows that men can understand the things of man by the spirit of man which is in them, and we've already covered why God has given the spirit of man to each one. And he's given it to them so they can have life, so they can have intelligence, so they can think, so they can choose, so they can use their minds. But that's only one half of the story. The other half, for the sonship of God, is the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of man gives you the sonship of men. The Spirit of God added to the Spirit of man then completes you because you're not complete without the Holy Spirit of God. And as we're going to see, the sonship of man in relationship to God is the very first step in understanding what God is doing. So let's read on here. Verse 11. For who among men understands the things of man, except by the Spirit of man, which is in him? In the same way also the things of God no one understands except by the Spirit of God. And that's what's important, you see. The Spirit of God. That's the only way that there will be the sonship. We've been predestined to the sonship if we repent and are baptized and enter into that covenant with God the Father and Jesus Christ and receive the Holy Spirit. Now, notice something very important that Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 12, now we have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is of God, so that we might know the things graciously given to us by God, that we might understand the Word of God. See, the words of the Bible are actually spiritual. Yeah, they're printed. But the meaning and the intent with the Spirit of God with you or in you gives you the understanding as you put this billion-piece puzzle together, bit by bit by bit, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, and that your whole life is walking in the way of the Lord. Then you can achieve the purpose that you need to. So yes, there is a purpose. Now, come back here to Ephesians, the third chapter, and let's see what Paul says concerning the plan of God, what he has proposed in himself. Ephesians 3 and verse 9, that I, Paul, might enlighten all as to what is the fellowship of the mystery that has been hidden from the ages in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. This was not known in ages past. It was not known until Christ came and taught the apostles and revealed the word of God to them, and then they wrote it for us. And it's been preserved and handed down to us so we can understand. Okay? So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to his eternal purpose, which he has proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. The purpose of God. That's the key. What is that purpose? Are you fulfilling it? Where are you going? What are you doing? What is your life? Well, we'll show you how to do that. It's all right here in the Bible. And we take it step by step, and we put it all together so that you can understand. And when you understand the great and fantastic plan of God through the sonship of God for you, that's why God the Father is called the Father. That's why Jesus Christ came and did what he did, so that you can be partakers of the heavenly calling, which is to be part of the family of God. That's why you're made the way that you have been made. Now, let's read on here. Verse 14, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is made. The whole family. God wants you to enter into a sonship relationship with him to become part of his eternal family. Have you ever heard that before? Have you ever understood what the sonship of God is? What that relationship is for us? And how that is accomplished? Well, we'll cover all of those things in subsequent messages on Church at Home. So you be sure and get out your Bible. Be sure and download the articles that we have online. What do you mean born again? What do you mean born of God? 90 facts about God. And that will help you understand what we are talking about here and why were you born from a speck of dust to a son of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.